Chris Sargerson is the Chief Executive of the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce, which supports the local business community. We find out about this and his previous business roles. But first, I asked him about his dyslexia and how it impacts on his work.
The slight elephant in the room with me is that actually I'm probably the least qualified of anybody to do any of the jobs that I've done over the last 25, 30 years. I left school with absolutely no qualifications on any level, which wasn't an indication, although at the time it frustrated my parents a great deal. It wasn't an indication of low intelligence, but being very... very dyslexic and undiagnosed. I'm in my mid-50s now, so I was sort of child of the 70s and 80s, and schooling and dyslexia at that particular time wasn't on anyone's radar. So for all intents and purposes, I would come across as being, to coin the phrases that were often used, a bit dim. I kind of knew that I wasn't dim, but I didn't understand why I wasn't actually doing well when I was faced with sort of written or oral examinations. And dyslexia takes many forms, and it affects people in different ways. But particularly with me, it was around sequential memory. So I would struggle with multiple choice a great deal. So whilst I may know the answer, and the answer would be B, I would write D. Because in my brain, that's what I saw as being the right answer. I also have very slightly strange dyslexia tendencies, which is I read from the bottom of a page up, and my brain processes things in a different way. But what I subsequently found out about dyslexia is dyslexics tend to be very good strategists. They tend to be, if you look at some of the successful entrepreneurs over the years, Dr. Branson is cited as an example, that you tend to see the solutions to problems before other people do. And that's because your brain is having to do that because it has a real trouble coping with the now. So it's you're constantly strategizing and you're constantly trying to figure things out. And you build coping strategies as a result of that. And it's only when those coping strategies become compromised that you end up being in a bit of a muddle. So I still to this day couldn't tell you my wife's date of birth, my children's date of birth, my wedding anniversary, because I just can't contain those sort of sequential numbers. So I bounced out of school regarded as spectacular failure. But one thing that I was very interested in at school, and I started to self-teach, was computers. Computers were arriving at the time. These were the days of the Spectrums and the Commodore PETs and the Commodore 64s and the first word processors. And I got really, I could program, I could code, I could understand the logic because it's, even though it's sequential, there is a methodology behind it. And I got very into that. And actually my first job out of school was working for a high street retailer in a computer department, and it was absolutely at the it's right place, right time kind of story. It was absolutely the arrival of the first range of business machines, so word processors instead of typewriters, and I completely got how they worked. I understood what value they brought. I understood the early days of productivity, as opposed to why write something on a typewriter when you can write into a computer and put it onto this unknown application at the time called a database, and how do you then deal with databases, and what does that mean you can now do that you couldn't do before. So I used to get very passionate about it when I was talking to these poor businessmen that were coming in whose secretary had said, I don't want a typewriter anymore, I want a word processor. And they had no clue how that was going to work or what that actually meant, or this whole new vernacular and this whole new language. So I was able to talk, I think, in a logic that provided insight. And within sort of 4 or 5 months of working within this retail environment, I was snapped up by a businessman who said, look, I'm going to buy six of these and I want to buy you as well, because no one in my organization knows how they work. So I ended up sort of moving into business by being able to explain and teach and repurpose and reprocess businesses around their first insight into technology. But I always had a background in being a salesperson, because that's kind of where my skill set had sort of lain coming out of school, was working in retail. So I had the balance of technology understanding, early technology understanding, and being good at having conversations and explaining what to many people are complicated challenges or problems or future solutions in a simple way. And then I was very, very fortunate in my early 20s to meet the very beautiful, lovely Rachel, who is my wife, and we've been together for some 30 years now. And she was the first person who basically said, I don't know why anyone thinks you're stupid, because you're really not, including your mother, who keeps saying, oh, poor Chris, he's a bit dim. And Rachel would say, he's not dim. And that started to change the narrative for me. That started to make, oh, maybe I'm not dim. And I still undiagnosed as being dyslexic at that point. I only actually had the diagnosis in 2004. And then everything started to sort of make sense. And she persuaded me in my mid-20s to walk up the path of Norwich Union's door and say, I know, whilst on paper I might not necessarily pass your application, but I have this experience. And it was at a time when Norwich Union as an organisation were being very disrupted, and that was the first occasion time I became aware of this characteristic in business called disruption. And they were being disrupted by the little red telephone that had appeared on everyone's TV screens and was changing the insurance industry quite dramatically. And Norwich Union, being Norwich Union at the time, didn't see that as a threat, didn't see that as something to be bothered about, sort of battered it away, thought their model was strong, but realised quite dramatically that they were losing a bit of a battle in terms of consumer behaviour. And they were not a consumer-facing company, they were a broker. So all of their business was done through broker networks rather than direct. They'd never had a direct operation in their business. So I think I must have appealed to the HR professional at the time that was interviewing me, because I had a logical computer understanding from the work that I'd done with... I'd worked for a building society up until that point, as well as having a customer relationship type approach and being very able to work within these new call centre environments, which were a very new technology as well. So I sort of entered at the very entry level of Norwich Union Direct as a tele exec, and within 3 or 4 years I was accelerated very rapidly through that organisation to be part of the senior team. And I learned a huge amount. I learned I had a very strong mentor, a chap that we both know, a chap called Patrick Smith, who was the then chief exec of Norwich Union Direct. And I could have hung on his coattails, and every word that fell out of his mouth I just got, because he talked about with great passion and great detail about how you transform organisations, not the product, because we never changed. We were still selling car insurance and home insurance and bike insurance and various other products, but you change the culture within an organisation that then matches the consumer behaviour or the expected consumer behaviour. And that, in my sort of strategy, dyslexic kind of brain, I could see all sorts of solutions to problems that businesses had before, and was given very much the opportunity to develop those. So we worked there very successfully for a period of time, and then this thing started to come along called the internet that no one had really heard of before. And again, you could then see, because it was technology and I got technology and I knew how you could apply technology into customer environments, we started to get very excited with Norwich Union at the time about the internet and how they should be excited by it too, but and unfortunately they weren't in the least bit excited about the internet and thought, well, I don't get this, this is a bit odd, and how does it work? I think somebody once said to me, I don't know how you plug a keyboard into your television and buy things, which was the understanding of the internet at the time. So Patrick and I and a few others, we came up with a proposal to create what became the first online insurance businesses. So we started to find how we could develop what was existing technology, what technology that used to be in the old broker offices, so green screen, you know, data entry technology. How do we build the first web platforms that, that can interface with that? And actually we start to put insurance online. So we had this fantastic journey. We managed to get some quite significant venture capital together. We were all in Norfolk, so we started to build a business in Norfolk. We had very small offices on Queen's Road, and we started to build the what became the first online insurance brokers, or the first online insurance portals. And that's at a time when, you know, Google was a year old, didn't exist, and your yellow pages used to crack your floorboards when it came through the letterbox because it had so many adverts in it for insurance companies, and that was the way that people bought. So we not only had to create technology that had never been created before, never been and didn't exist at that time, we also had to think about, well, how do we market this? Because we can't put an online product into the yellow pages or onto the TV, it's too expensive. So that then opened us up to businesses at the time that were known as aggregators, and they became the GoCompares and the Meerkats, and working together with those very closely, with those entities very closely, we were able to attach the sort of marketing platforms to the technology, and we then started to see some very rapid growth. I mean, it sounds quite simple when I explain it like this, but you know, we struggled for a number of years to get the technology right. It was by no means simple, but we persevered, and we managed to sort of reshape that landscape, and we managed to build a business which at the point that we sold, which was about 2008-2007, we were employing 350 people in Norwich, and in this very different culture, very different space, very different environment to the environment that we'd been working in 5-6 years ago with Norwich Union. So I then find myself